بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، صاحب العصر والزمان، خليفة الرحمن، إمام الإنس والجان، ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أحد سبيلا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq to once again gather like we do every single year and commemorate and remember the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, his companions, his family, and to continue to fulfill the promise that the Holy Prophet gave his daughter, that there will be a nation who will not forget your son. I don't know how many of us take this for granted. I don't know how many of us think this is robotic or automatic, but the reality is it is a tawfiqi issue. It is an issue of inspiration. And it is always a pleasure for me to be back here at JCC during these very important nights. And as announced, I am with you for the entire Ashra. And we have a topic in mind, and I'd like to get right into the topic if you don't mind. In order for us to understand what it is that I wish to accomplish with all of you in this Ashra, we have to look at various verses of the Quran and travel with me as we go through initially a few verses from Surah Yasin to really sort of set the stage of what I want to do and where I want to do it from. There's no point in a muqaddimah or there's no point in any sort of formalities. We are practically family, and so I can begin right from the get-go from my topic. Surah Yasin is that surah where a lot of us have this surah memorized. We recite it on Thursday nights when somebody passes away in the Qabristan and cemetery. But the verses are very powerful. And sometimes I wish people like me would look at Surah Yasin not as a surah for the deceased, but in fact for the one who is living. And to remind us that there's a reason why there is a high emphasis on this surah. It's not my topic, don't worry, but I have to first establish my topic through various verses that all of you know very well. In the opening verses of the Quran of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Holy Prophet. It says, you are a mursaleen. And you are a mursaleen ala siratim mustaqim, on the right path. And then he describes what his role is essentially. Of the many roles the Quran talks about when it comes to the Holy Prophet, this one is very important for us today. And as always, I will draw parallels to these opening verses of Surah Yasin to my topic and to our state today. He then says, لِتُنْزِرَ قَوْمٌ مَا أُنْزِرَ أَبَاءُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. That we brought you to warn a qawm, to warn a nation. Now what nation, who is that nation? Outside my scope. Tafsir has two or three different ihtimalat, different possibilities. One of course being Quraysh and others. But the Quran describes this nation as a nation that has not been warned before. Ma unzira aba'ahum. Your fathers of this nation have not been warned. But we are here, the Prophet is here to what? To warn you. And the reason why they are in ghafla, in heedlessness, meaning their fathers, because they haven't been warned. Now, you know, Tafsir says that this is that qawm, pre-Islamic era, that jahiliyyah qawm, the Abu Lahabs and of the Quraysh of the world, where they lived their life according to their instincts. It was a very chaotic, a very barbaric life. Never warned, never given good news, never given a path to tread. But this is not you, the Quran says. You are a qawm that now I'm sending a guide to. I'm sending a nadir to. The problem is, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْفَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The problem is that they don't want this reminder. They actually believe what they've been told by their forefathers is haq. Not just a few of ala akfarihim, the majority of them. For those who know a little bit of Arabic grammar, the lam in front of the verb qad denotes what? Denotes certainty. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَصْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For sure, for certainly, there is no doubt, بَيْشَكْ, for you, in the Prophet of Allah, there is this beautiful example. لَقَدْ, where you see in the Quran, means حَتْمًا. So, فِي سَتْ, سَدَّرْ سَتْ, 100%. These are people who took the qawl of their ajdad and the ones before them as haq. And so there wasn't like there was a red carpet for the Holy Prophet. Please come and warn us. Tell us what we did wrong. Tell us about all, our lifestyle. No, it wasn't. Simply because whatever their fathers and their fathers said to them, they took as haq. So they did what? They refused. They denied. They ridiculed, as many of you know. Then Allah becomes a little bit descriptive now. Okay? And the description is very important for us to understand. Metaphoric, symbolic, of course, not actual physical descriptions, but ones that we have to somewhat relate to. This is what I want for all of us, especially myself, is to move away from reading the Quran to now understand these little small little points that Allah is making. MashaAllah, a lot of you in this room now, you are consistently reciting the Quran, and that's a beautiful thing. Keep doing that. But these little small intricacy, these small points, the little isharat that God makes, is extremely important. Inshallah, at the end of today's opening lecture, I'll get to where I'm going with this discussion on Surah Yasin. Now Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا. What we've done now, جَعَلْنَا, we've placed what? Shackles. Where? عُنُوق. عُنُوق in Arabic means your neck. From their neck now, on their neck, Allah has placed إغلال. غُل. In Arabic means shackles, chains, okay? Now these of course are not physical chains, these are not people walking around with chains around their necks, but again, the description is quite detailed. Allah says, to the point where we do it, إِلَىٰ أَذْقَانِهِمْ, until their chins, فَهُمْ مُقْمَهُونَ. To the point where those shackles are to the point where their heads are raised, Surah Yasin says. Now, these are not people walking around with their heads raised up. The shackle is so big, the chain is so large, they can't bring their head down. Which means they can't see what's in front of them, the symbolism. Something is in front of you, very clear in front of you, right? You send your child to your room, go get my charger. The charger is massive, it's black, it's long, it's on the bed. It's in front of them. They're looking here, up here, Baba, I can't find it. Baba, yaar, aankhon ke samne hai, yaar. They're right in front of you. Just look down a little bit. This shackle is so big, their head is up there, they can't see what's in front of them. And that isn't enough, the Quran says. Allah goes one step further. I'll explain why God does this. Not only that, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغَشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا Yubsirun. Very important ayat. Allah says, we place a sad in front of you and them, a sad behind them. Now, sadada in Arabic, sadida, sometimes those of you who know a little bit of Quran, you know that there is a qawlan sadida we talked about where Allah describes the mu'mineen as the one who speaks very directly, right? Sad means a barrier, a hurdle, a filler. Okay, where things stop at that moment. Nothing goes beyond that. So when Allah says to a believer that you have to speak qawlan sadida, there shouldn't be any confusion after that qawl. It should be very clear. Khair. Allah says, I place in front of them this sad, this barrier, to the point where what? We covered them. There's ghishawa happening, where they couldn't have what? La yubsirun. This is all a result of the individuals who would not heed to the warning of the Holy Prophet, who simply said that whatever we have heard so far and what we've seen so far is haq, is truth. Nothing is changing, nothing is altering, there's no need for a warning, we're good where we're good how we are, leave us the way we are, we don't need to come and ruffle the feathers We're good. We don't need you to be a nadir for us. Shackles on the neck, their head in the skies, their chin resting on these massive shackles, sad in front of them, sad behind them, right? Ghishawa, this covering, to the point where Allah says, la yubsirun. Now, Allah uses the idea of seeing something, different verbs in the Quran. In one idea, Allah says the idea of ru'yat, to actually look at something with your physical eye. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرٍ يَرَى. One of the dalil that we have, the proof that we have of the jismani dimension of the barzakh and the akhirat is the fact that Allah says you will see every atom of good that all of you do, mashallah. A lot of atoms in this room, mashallah. You'll see it. The verb used is yara, yani ru'yat, with your eyes. The whole masla of the chand of every month is that it has to be seen by the eye, or in some maraje, using the eye to use a optical aid. But nonetheless, it can't be something on a website. It can't be something that has to be seen with your eyes. That's called the ru'yat of the moon. That's one verb. Okay. The second verb Allah uses is nadara. Right? فَصِيرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Travel the earth, Allah says, walk the land. فَصِيرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ, do sair on this earth. فَانْظُرُوا. نَذَرَ and رَعَيَا are two different verbs, but they're denoting vision. But here, when it says فَانْظُرُوا means reflect. Stop and think for a second. We use it in Urdu, right? What is your opinion? What's the result of your reflection? Right? What's your nazara on this point? Allah says, travel the earth and reflect on those who what? Whose aqibat is those who are the mukadhibin, who deny Allah. But in this verse, Allah says that we have placed a barrier in front of them and a barrier behind them. And we have covered them to the point where they cannot see. But the verb used is not ru'yat, it's not nadara, it's basara. If ru'yat means physical eyes, and nadara means the intellectual eyes, basara means the qalbi eyes. Or, for lack of a better translation, the insight of the human being. The Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says that man has been given two sets of eyes, or two different eyesights. Eyesight and insight. The vision of the physical eyes and the vision of the internal eyes, of your internal kingdom. Now, I spoke about basirat and the importance of it, and what that means in the Quran and today, and I don't want to go down that path. It's enough to know Allah says these are not people who are blind. They might have 20/20 vision, but they're not able to see a reality that's right in front of them. Okay? We say chishme basirat in Farsi, and sometimes in Urdu it's used as well. A person who is internally now, her eyes are wide open, who's able to see even those things that have looked like, they look like they're haq, but really they are batil on the inside. Such an important topic for today. For this day and age, such an important topic. Basira, to be the ahl basir. To look beyond the outside packaging, to inside the box and the reality hidden inside of it. Allah now says, we sent you a warner, you denied them, you're okay with it happening before, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ, everything they said is haq to you, we placed chains on you, your head is above you, there's barriers now to the point where your internal eyesight is blind, can't see, reality, can't see it. Why? How can you? Your eyes are buried in sin, your eyes are buried in ego, your internal eyes now. How can you even open those eyes? There's too much weight on those eyelids. Internally, of course, I mean. And then Allah gets to this point. وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. Even when things are balanced in front of them. The problem is that you can warn them or not warn them. You can sit there and put them in front of, you know, an usherah of a great scholar, one who moves hearts, not me, someone else, who actually infiltrates the heart, who makes a difference in someone's life. Because you really think this guy should hear this scholar, you bring him, you pick him up, you carpool, like Mahbubai said, carpool. Bring him here, 10 nights, you're watching him, he's listening very carefully, but doesn't go anywhere. You warn your kids, you warn your kids, you're watching them go down a very, very dangerous path. You can see up ahead as a parent, I've been down this path before, they're headed for disaster. You're warning them, nothing goes through. La yu'manun, they won't believe. You can sit there and you can warn them, am lam tunzirahum, or you cannot warn them, it's up to you. At that moment now, they're blind. There's barriers, there's shackles, there's chains. They're okay with the state that they're in. It's very important that we understand the era that we live in today. This is not the era of the generation before us. This is not the era of our fathers. This is not even the era of my childhood. Unless we understand, we have this zaman shanasi, to understand the era that we live in, we're going to be like those. Without even knowing it, we don't have any basirat. Without even knowing it, we have shackles and chains around our necks. Without even knowing it, there's barriers upon barriers. I want to do this, but. I would love to do this, but. Being zaman shanas is very, very important. Knowing the era that you live in is very, very important. Again, I'll present to you these small surahs that we have memorized. One of them is Surah Asr. Let's go very quickly. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Okay. Asr now, you've seen in some Qurans, means time. Okay. That's the weakness of the English language. Again, Asr and time is denoted by several other Arabic words. Asr means not just time, quickly fleeting time is Asr. A time that's moving very fast. We have in our hadith that one of the signs of the alamat and the arrival of the imam of our time is that there's no barakat in time. Time's flying by. 3 months ago, we were here for the month of Ramadan. Just like that, now Muharram is here. These 10 days will fly by. And meanwhile, people like me are sleeping, thinking, you know what, I have time. My knees are cracking, my back is hurting, my beard is white. I have time. Allah says, you don't have time. Wal asr, it's fleeting. And they're all now moving towards this destruction. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except for the one who has faith. Knowing the time that you live in is extremely important. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. It's a very powerful hadith, and there is a whole topic on this zaman shanasi. It's not my topic, neither is Surah Yasin. I'll get to my topic, I promise, tonight, soon. He says, A'arafu nasu bizamani. A'arafu is not just the idea of arafa. A'arafu means the one who is the most aware, who has the most level of ma'arifat, the most level of awareness amongst the people when it comes to what? Bizamani, the era that they live in. When I say understanding the era that you live in, I'm not talking about understanding people. People sometimes won't change. It's amazing how sometimes people come and argue with me that, oh, the human being has really now progressed. There's a lot of taraqi, a lot of pishraft, a lot of advancement inside the human being. And I've often said that advancement of any society can't be just measured by what's outside the human being, but rather has to be measured by what's inside the human being. Our phones are smarter, our watches are smarter, our appliances are smarter, no doubt about that. I can sit there and start my car right now from my phone on my app. But have we progressed? And many ulama have said that we are actually now regressing towards that jahiliyyah era. That's a whole different discussion. Imam Ali says that the one who has the most awareness amongst the people when it comes to the era that they live in, they have one special quality. من لم يتعجب بأحداثه. That this is a person who doesn't, is not, there's no ta'ajub, there's no shock, there's no surprise when they see what's happening around them. There are some people who are blown away right now with what's happening right now in this world today. Do you see what's happening, Malana? Did you catch this? Have you seen the reel I sent you? It's going too far now. What are we going to do? Holding your head, clutching your pillow. This is surprising. I never thought we'd get this far. How far are we going to drop? Just ta'ajub upon ta'ajub. Surprise upon surprise, shock upon shock. The problem is the time is passing by us and we're sitting there in ta'ajub. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Imam Ali says, the one who is a'arufu nasa bizzamani, who knows the era that they live in to the highest degree, nothing surprises them. They saw it coming a mile away. I know where this ride is going right now. I know where this journey is going right now. And because I know where it's going, I'm ready when it comes. There are some people, mashallah, who are skilled. Ulama, awam alike, people like yourself who can see 10, 15 years down the road. Where is the economy going? Where is our life going? Where is this community going? Where is the Islamic community going? They see it and they begin to act now as if they're living 10 years from now. That's a person who has zaman shinasi. That's a person who knows the era that they live in. People who are convinced that, look, man, my kid's in public school. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. He went to the exact same school I did, Malana. He sees my picture in the hallway of graduation of 1990, whatever. I turned out to be great. Same school, same teacher even. He'll be fine as well. You guys are Kamaha, without any sort of, you know, reason, you're just creating a stink and a scare and a storm for no reason whatsoever. That's a person who believes وَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ, that the way that we live 20, 30, 40 years from now is the same way we are living today. Allah says, be careful, لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, don't be like those who don't have that basirat. So we understand by this, the narrations, the scriptures, that what? To know the era you live in is extremely important. Okay, fine. Established, established. How do we know that? What is one of the ways that we understand that? The Quran is. The Quran is. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. It's incredible how the words of Allah, these are not the words of some disciple or some companion or some research scholar. This is Kalam Allah, the words of Allah. As Imam Khomeini describes the Quran, Name Ishq as Khuda, he says. Love letters from your Lord. Beautiful way of describing it. How carefully would you read a love letter from the one that is your beloved? Not just once, 10 times, 20 times, 30 times over. You have a rough day, a bad day, a low moment. You bust out that letter and you read it and you feel better about yourself. Let's move away from just recitation of the book. How does the Quran describe to us the era that we live in, the tools that are used today to misguide us? That's what I mean by understanding the era that you live in. Not just the people of your era, the tools used to either guide us or misguide us. We have to understand that. And it's incredible how the book of Allah constantly describes itself as a book of hidayats. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. It's a guide for all of mankind. How does it do it? It's not just made for us to be wowed by a prophet inside the belly of a whale, or wowed by a staff that turns into a serpent, or wowed by a man who went from the bottom of a well to the prince of Egypt. Those are great stories. But if you look at, again, you observe a little bit, and that's why I ask myself first and all of you, a little bit of tadabbur and tafakkur on the verses that you already recite, mashallah. Read them, translation, look online for a tafsir, ask me for maybe some points I may be able to share, but look at the idea that Allah now uses a certain methodology to not just introduce to us nations before, but pivot to the nation that we live in today. It's incredible how God talks about someone else 1,000 years ago. They did this, they did that, they were like this, their aqibah, their conclusion, their destiny, their punishment was this, and then he pivots towards us. Within that story, the same story. It's like somebody who's telling you a story about some other guy, oh, he did this, this guy was like this, and turns to you, it's like, wait a second, how did I get into this? You're talking about him over there. God goes, no, I'm not just talking about a story that happened 1,000 years ago. I want you to look at that story and think about yourself today. By introducing the eras and the nations that are before us, Allah ultimately is uncovering the nation before us today. Sometimes the fitri, innate nature of the human being does not change. And those pharaonic tools, those tools that were used by Namrud, by the Abu Lahabs of the world, by the other enemies of God, are used today. We just have to understand how and who's benefiting and who's funding and who's behind all that. That shanasi, that awareness is important. So sometimes Allah now will talk about a story and we're engrossed in that story and he flips it back onto us. He goes from hum to who to ha, right? To them, to him, to her. To what? To kum, to ka, to ki, to you male, to you female. And wakes us up out of our course. And wait a second, he's not just talking about that group. He's actually what? Reminding us that you could be that group. And the parallels are incredible. On this very member in 2018, in the ashra that we call the illumination of the inner light, we spent 10 nights talking about one verse of the Quran. 10 nights, 10 hours about one verse of the Quran. That's the beauty of the Quran. That's the depth of the Quran. Not my words, of course. The ulama's words, the Ahlul Bayt's words. The ones who have the true keys to knowledge. 10 hours on one verse in 2018. This year, I want to spend 10 hours, not on one verse, but one word of the Quran. The verse I read for you in the khutbah is the base of our discussion in this entire ashra. And the Quran helps us realize that if you want to rescue yourselves and your families and your children and your community from the obstacles of today, you have to come back to the Quran. We're not going to be like those in Surah Yasin, walking around with what? With symbolic shackles around our necks that can't see anything. We're not going to walk around with barriers around us. We're not going to sit there and watch Asr and time blow by us. We're not going to be like those. We're going to be ready. And we're going to start with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the 84th verse of Surah Isra, 1784 is my verse in this ashra. He says to the Holy Prophet, قُلْ, tell them, كُلٌ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. Everyone acts according to their shakila. فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَحْدَ سَبِيلًا. That surely your Lord is the one who knows the best, who is the most guided on this path. We're going to dissect the word shakila in this ashra. Because in this verse now, Allah has a very commanding tone to it. He says that you're bound by your shakila. You're going to act according to your shakila. It's very difficult to move away from your shakila. Now shakila, tomorrow inshallah we'll open up a little bit more, but there are 14 different meanings to shakila. Mahbubai has his 14 points. We have our 14 different meanings of shakila. I won't spend 14 hours talking about the meaning. I will choose what is the most prominent of them, and that means disposition. Allah says, everybody, kullu, everybody will act according to their disposition. Their malaka, as you say in Arabic, or malake, you say in Farsi. Even in Urdu, malaka is used. Zamir, conscious, nature, personality, disposition. Everybody will act according to their disposition. And their disposition now tells Allah, their Rabb, who is the most guided. What is its disposition? How important is it? How do we fix it if it's broken? Do we ever understand the power of it? Can we change it? Why are we bound by it? Are we born with it? And I'll tell you why I'm choosing this topic. Before that, one nice loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. You know, the acoustics in this hall is beautiful. There's lots of you today here, alhamdulillah. Always a pleasure for me to address all of you, beautiful mu'mineen of this community. But I really want to hear your salawats from your heart, if you don't mind. I just want to hear echo off the walls one more time. It really fills my heart, if you don't mind. So one more nice loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Now, I have said many times on this member and other minabir, I have said that this member is meant for solutions, not to create more problems. This member is not handing out boarding passes to Jannah. This member is not handing out a free ticket to heaven. It is meant for solutions. Nabara in Arabic literally means elevation, bulandi. A mimbar, mim noon bara, is a mahalliye bulandi. It's a place of elevation, okay? We should have some form of a solution from this member. And the reason why I chose this topic, you should know as a speaker, the hardest, at least for me, the hardest thing to do is to come up with a viable topic for the first 10 days of Muharram. It's the most, anybody here who addresses a majlis, you know, it's very difficult. Thursday night alone is by itself hard, forget a whole 10 nights. Because, you know, if you don't like the topic, then khulafis, I won't see you tomorrow. And I'm not a speaker who has a different topic every single night. I have one topic that I really stretch for 10 nights. Now you're stuck. But a lot of what's happening inside of our homes, in our marriages, with our children, in our communities, in our executive committees, globally, locally, within us, there are several reasons why there's a lot of problems out there, a lot of heartache out there. I wish sometimes my phone would blow up. I wish sometimes my phone would blow up where couples are calling me on speakerphone, telling me, I said, bhai, I'm just calling to say that we are very happy as a couple. We're doing great. We actually love each other. I love his mother. She loves my mother. I would love to hear that one day. But I don't hear those things. I never hear that I have the best kid in the world. I never hear that we're raising our children to be amazing children. I just want to say that we are very happy, Balada. We don't get those phone calls, unfortunately, and I wish we did, just to balance things out once in a while. But we do get a lot of phone calls about a lot of issues that are heart-wrenching, that keep us up at night, that make us feel guilty sometimes for having somewhat of a normal life. And a lot of it has to go back to behavior. Behavior. Sometimes we just resign to the fact this is just how I am. Sometimes I ask couples, if I was to ask your wife to describe you, what would she say? Well, Malana, she would say I'm angry. Yes. And look at the tone. Yeah, I mean, I yell, I scream. Of course, I use obscene language. There are holes in my walls. Yeah. Sometimes I toss the occasional spoon across the hall. Sometimes I smash a plate on the ground. Otherwise, I'm a great husband, Lama. What do I do, though? That's just how I am. If you think I'm mad, you should meet my grandfather and my father. Meet my uncles, right? It's a Khandani problem. We're just angry people. That's how we were from the beginning. I was born angry, I still am angry. And we accept our behavior. We accept our shakila. We accept our disposition. I'm an impatient guy, what do? If I ask the husband, or ask the wife, how would he describe you? I'm very good, Malana. I've made the home a paradise. I keep it clean. I'm very supportive of what he does. I'm very patient with his anger. I patch the holes in the wall. I do everything. But yeah, sometimes I emasculate him. Sometimes I use very, very difficult language. Sometimes I let my tongue go. Sometimes I bash him. I tell him that he's this big in front of me. I tell him that, why can't you be more of a man like this person and that person? I do say that. I compare him to other men in the community. Otherwise, I'm a great wife. But what do? That's how I am. And sometimes there are people, mashallah, with pride, they say, when I'm upset, oh, I tell them that I'm upset. I don't hold back. I'm not a munafik, Mulana. I'm not a hypocrite. Not me. I tell it as it is. They know if I'm mad, they'll hear from me. Why should I hold back? They should understand what they did wrong. If I don't tell them, who will? I'm fixing people, Mulana. By me sitting there and ripping a hole inside of them, I'm actually doing them a favor. Publicly, they should know. That's how I am. Everyone knows, I don't hold back, And like this, I don't hold back. And they actually believe they are the mu'mineen. And maybe they are. But when you ask them to change, I can't change. This is who I am. Everyone knows how I am, Malana. Up kya change hoga. That's it. This is how I am. I can't help it. Ask everybody. I don't know how to control my tongue. When you accept your behavior, when I accept my disposition, no matter how good or how bad it is, I don't allow myself to change that disposition. I think it's written in stone. I think it's etched in a rock. It's not going to change. You can sit there and tell me all you want. For 10 straight nights, you'll tell me, I don't believe I can change at that moment. And sometimes we don't understand. The Quran talks about in Surah Ali Imran, just one example. If you are somebody in this room, with pride you tell yourself that I tell it as it is, right? And we actually believe it's a positive trait of mine, right? I keep it real, Malana, as you guys tell me. You drop some hip hop on me. I keep it real, Malana. I'm not one of those who hold back. Right? Brother, if you're angry, maybe you should swallow your anger. No. That's not keeping it real, Malana. And the Quran talks about the idea that the muttaqeen are who? Alladhina yunfiquna fis sarra'i wal dharra'i wa kadhimina al-ghayz. The muttaqeen, the Quran flat out says, there are those who give. The muttaqeen are those who give when things are easy to give, when things are hard to give, they give. Wal kadhimina al-ghayz. They swallow their anger. They don't look for an outlet. They don't punch the wall. They don't scream in the pillow. They don't go for a walk. They don't do that. They swallow it. They bury it. They push it down. But Allah's going to come back up with a vengeance. You have to work on that. If your disposition is like this, don't accept that. Because Allah says you will be bound, and you are bound by your shakila. And I will use shakila 84,000 times in this ashra. You'll understand, because this term, this Quranic istilah, is used only once in the Quran. That's it. And sometimes the ulama have said it's a defining factor of a strong family and a weak family, of strong iman and weak iman, of a strong community and a feeble one, of a growing nation and a regressing one. All goes down to shakila. And we're going to dissect shakila in 10 nights. This one word we're going to dissect. With the hopes that I'm not telling all of you as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives. I'm telling you as individuals, as creations of Allah. Because one of the biggest problems we have in this era, and we don't need to always sit there and focus our attention on the defa and defense of one group or this group. Make sure you talk about that group, Malana. Make sure you address the gender issue, Malana. Make sure you address the rainbow, Malana. Make sure you address this, Malana. Please talk about hijab. Talk about marjiyat. Talk about khums. Blah, blah, blah. These pinpoint, these sort of single focus discussions only happen when the overarching view is not right. The Hausa always taught us, elevate the level of knowledge, these things by themselves will go on the wayside. Even before they reach you, you'll already reject them. Even before they come and try to infiltrate inside of you, there'll be a barrier already. Why? You're on a different wavelength, bro. A different realm. You've elevated yourself to a different level altogether. These things are small to you. Really? Do we really believe that this gender issue is a big issue nowadays? I'm not downplaying it. I'm saying if we elevate to the rooftop, these things become what? They become small to us. And the higher the roof, the smaller the issue becomes. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. You're with me? Yes? So one issue I want to mention, then we go towards Masaib on the first night. That's enough for one night. Chocula, 1784. It's a very important verse. You will act according to your chocula, which means that the act that we do, and I'll expand on this tomorrow as a preview, the act that we do is just a reflection of the internal disposition. We're trying to fix the fruit of the tree by leaving the roots alone. We're complaining that the fruit that comes from this tree is kharab, it's sour, it's gone bad. This tree's not giving good fruit. So we'll cut off this branch, attack that twig, pull out this apple, wait for the right apple to come. Meanwhile, what? The roots are bad. The trunk is dead. The tree is dying. Baba, fortify the roots, man. Strengthen the trunk and watch as the apples come out beautiful and delicious. So shakila is not what we do, it's who we are. And who we are results in what we do. And what we do is a reflection of who we are. Right? Think about a person who is a coward as opposed to a person who is brave. One shakila is that they are a cowardly individual. Okay? And one person is they are shuja, they are shaji, they are brave. Their actions will reflect that. A person who is miserly, who's bakhil, who's kanjus, who's stingy. A person who's generous, that's their shakila. They'll act accordingly. A person who's ignorant, a person who's knowledgeable. You get my point. So tomorrow we'll spend an entire majlis on defining this term. It's a very difficult topic. A very difficult usher I've chosen for myself. But it is of utmost importance. Now, let's go to that one issue and then Masai. Before that one, nice salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. The problem is, of many, that we have replaced the creator with the curator. Follow me. We've replaced the creator with the curator. We have to make our way back to the creator. What's a curator? A curator of content that we have, right? A lot of companies nowadays, they hire content curators. A curator takes existing content, adds his own imagination, his own mirchi masala, his own sort of vibe, his energy, his imagination, his creativity, and presents it to the masses. To the point where they forget about the what? The source of the content and are drowning in his content. That's a curator. Right? They curate content. They create content from already existing content. They take that vision from the social media world and apply it to the God world. What we've done is we've taken things that have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and added our own nuances to it. We have to crawl ourselves back to the asal and the essence. I don't need to pray Salat, Maulana. I meditate. One person sent me, and they have a lot of time in their hands, mashallah. One time they sent me a pros and cons comparison table between Salat and meditation. And their whole purpose was to somehow prove to me that meditation now is the new age of Salat. The ruku and sujood is gone, meditation is the way to go. Or they'll debate intermittent fasting to the month of Ramadan. Or they'll debate a modest amount of clothing to today's hijab of men and women. In the process, curate their own content from the Creator. Now, why does a person curate content? Because to make the content digestible, easier to look at, a little bit more modern. So let me take those sort of, you know, those essential paths of Allah, let me grab them, let me add my own sort of 2023 sort of path to it, and let me present it as this new age spirituality. And say, look, the essence is the same, we're still worshiping, but the form is different. And that's a dangerous, dangerous equation. Let's change the form, but keep the essence. Remember, Allah now in His Al-Yawma Akmalta Lakum Deenakum, He's perfected the religion, He gave the form, and He gave the essence both. And the reason why Imamat is so important, the reason why Ghadir is so important, it didn't stop at the Prophet of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, I gave you the form in the sense of the sunnah of the Holy Prophet. I gave you the essence in the Quran. And both of them, I gave to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now you take it and you move it forward. So when you move away from the path of the Ahlul Bayt, you move away from the form and essence discussion. Again, not my topic, but let's be very careful. The concept is that some people think the form is, the essence is the same. We're still worshiping. I'm still fasting. I'm still donating to the cause. I don't need to give khums. But the form is different. That's a very dangerous curation process. We don't need to do that. Allah now in His infinite mercy gave us form and gave us essence. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inshallah, from tomorrow we'll understand a little bit more of what shakila is, what disposition is, why it's so important. Can it change? There's lots to talk about. What is it that influences our shakila? Who is it that influences our shakila? Are there forms? Are there ways inside of us? Are there ways outside of us? Absolutely there is. And Imam Hussein, being the manifestation of verse of the Quran, he was somebody who acted according to his disposition. They tried very hard in Medina, some did, to discourage him from going towards Kufa. Mawla, let him be the Khalifa in Kufa. They know who you are and who your family is. Such a beautiful process he laid behind. The Maqatil tell us that Imam Hussein didn't even for a moment entertain the idea I could sit here in Medina and be quiet and not say a word while someone who sits there and drinks alcohol claims to be the Khalifa of my grandfather's religion. His shakila wouldn't let him stay in Medina. He got up and he grabbed his women, his children, a few of his companions and family, and he went towards Kufa. And tonight might be the first night of the month of Muharram, we don't know yet. But I do know that our Hussein, the Waris of Hussein, the one who will now complete his mission, our Imam al-Zamana now has made his way towards Karbala. You know, usually when you begin a process like this of giving condolences, and we offer our condolences, of course, to Imam al-Zamana on this night, the amount of emphasis every Imam had after Imam Hussein on this night is very important to understand. The moment the moon of Muharram would be sighted, the energy inside the homes of the imams would change. When Imam Radha alayhi salam is telling his companion that if you cry for nothing in this world, if you cry for nothing in this world, cry for Hussein. If something bothers you in this world, if you are feeling full of grief, if tragedy has hit you, and you don't know how to get that grief out, simply say, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Condolences on this night is difficult. I don't know where to start. We go straight to the mother of Imam Hussein, and we tell Shahzadi Konain, accept our pursa for the way they treated your son. When Imam Radha alayhi salam is describing Imam Hussein, and these are very hard words, when he describes the idea that they martyred my Judd Hussein like an animal, we have to understand what that means. I remember in my time of Eid al-Adha, I would walk the streets of Qum, and sometimes we end up in an area where there wasn't a lot of buildings, a lot of schools, a lot of farms, and there was a lot of sacrifice being done. We would see animals on the ground being sacrificed, just left on the ground a little bit. Nobody here to ask them about what's happening. Later on, of course, they would worry about them. But there would be this sacrifice where now people would move on now with the process, and the animal would lie there. Nobody would notice. Nobody would ask. No one sat there and make sure the animal is okay. Imam Radha is saying that my Judd Hussein was sacrificed and killed like an animal. He was beheaded and left on the plains of Karbala for 3 days. Not one person asking, Adhan Hussein, this is Hussein. Not one person moving on with their life, getting the qafila ready. For 3 days, the son of Ghadir. For 3 days, the grandson of Mubahila. I always say, the sacrifice of Hussein is a maqami sacrifice. It's not that the dhulm was done to Hussein. It's that dhulm was done to Hussein. This was the son of Ali. There's no reason why he should be denied water. This was the son of Fatima. There's no reason why he should have to introduce himself and say, was I a bad mullah? Shimmer bin Dhuljoshin on the chest of Hussein. Before that last moment of that heinous act, Imam Hussein is asking him in the most faintest of voices, Shimmer, was I a bad mola to you, Shimmer? Did I take your rights away from you, Shimmer? On this night, say the Fatima, accept our condolences. I don't know where to start. 2 minutes and I'm done. Do I go to Ali Akbar and give you pursa for Ali Akbar? That Ali Akbar who had enough sense when he fell from the horse. Alayka minni salam, ya abada. That means what? Accept my salam, O Father. He never said, assalamu alayka, ya abata. Because that would require a response. He knew enough to know, Baba, I'm falling from the horse. I'm sending you my salams, but stay where you are, Baba. Don't come towards me. Do I give you Bursa, ya Fatima, for Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas? That moment now, he has no arms. The musk of Sakina is pouring. My Mola Abbas stops where he is. He doesn't know what to do. I don't have water for the tent. I don't have arms to fight. Do I give you Bursa Fatima for that moment that my Muslim Mola fell from his horse on a bed of arrows? Do I give you Bursa for that moment where Umar ibn Saad says 10 different horses line up on one side of Hussein, 5 on one side, 5 on the other, on my command, the horses from the right go towards the left, from the left go towards the right, to the point where one Maloon says, Nafas al-Mahmum, when my horse hit the body of Hussein, I could hear the cracking of the ribs. Matam Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Buland awaaz se padho Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. MashaAllah, Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Allah, Khair al Amal, Ya Allah. خير العمل هيا لا خير العمل هيا لا ما شاء الله سب مل کے هيا لا خير العمل هيا لا خير العمل هيا لا عمل هيا لا خير عمل هيا لا خير العمل هيا خير العمل يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا ما شاء الله يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين
تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں ہاں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا ماشاءاللہ بلند آواز سے تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں ماشاءاللہ دے ہم کو دعا آباد کریں گے ہم آباد کریں گے ہم ہے اب قریب بلا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں ماشاء اللہ جی دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرا دین ہے مشکل میں میں کیسے رہوں گھر میں تیرا دین ہے مشکل میں میں کیسے رہوں گھر میں تفلی میں کوئی وعدہ تفلی میں کوئی وعدہ تھا تجھ سے کیا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے ماشاءاللہ سلامت رہیے دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا روزے پہ تیرے آ کے ہم شمع جلاتے تھے روزے پہ تیرے آ کے ہم شمع جلاتے تھے اب کون مجاور ہے اب کون مجاور ہے صغرا کے سوا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے آتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا اماں کی لہد چھوٹی روزہ بھی تیرا چھوٹا اماں کی لہد چھوٹی روزہ بھی تیرا چھوٹا چھوٹا اس وقت کلیجے پر ہے اس وقت کلیجے پر خنجر سا چلا نانا ہے تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں ماشاء اللہ دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا زینب تیرے روزے پر بے پردہ نہیں آئی زینب تیرے روزے پر آئے بے پردہ نہیں آئی اب دیکھے گی سب دنیا اب دیکھے گی سب دنیا سر اس کا کھلا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا ماشاء اللہ سب مل کے پڑھیے تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں بچے ہے بہت چھوٹے گرمی کا زمانہ ہے بچے ہے بہت چھوٹے آئے گرمی کا زمانہ ہے پہنچائے گا منزل پر ہائے پہنچائے گا منزل پر اب ہم کو خدا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا نانا آخری بار بلند آواز سے ہائے تیرے شہر سے جاتے ہیں دے ہم کو دعا ماشاءاللہ یا حسین حسین یا حسین
اٹھے ہیں ہاتھ خدایا اسی دعا کے لیے نصیب ہو سفر عشق کربلا کے لیے کربلا کربلا کربو بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو کربو کربو بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو کربو
بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو
پھر لوٹ کر وہاں سے پھر لوٹ کر وہاں سے نہ آنا نصیب ہو کربو
کربو بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو
ایسا در حسین پہ سجدہ ہو آخری ایسا در حسین پہ سجدہ ہو آخری پھر مجھ کو اپنا سر نہ اٹھانا نصیب ہو پھر لوٹ کر وہاں سے نہ آنا نصیب ہو کربو
بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو کربو بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو
پھر لوٹ کر وہاں سے نہ آنا نصیب ہو کربو
بلا نصیب سے جانا
نا نصیب ہو
آنسو گرے تھے بالی سکینہ کے جس جگہ آنسو گرے تھے بالی سکینہ کے جس جگہ اپنا وہاں پہ خون بہانا نصیب ہو پھر لوٹ کر وہاں سے نہ آنا نصیب ہو
کر وہ بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو کر وہ بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو
کر وہ بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب ہو کر وہ بلا نصیب سے جانا نصیب جیسا ملا نصیب سے ام البنین کو جیسا ملا نصیب سے ام البنین کو اب کیا کسی کو ایسا گھرانا نصیب ہو پھر لوٹ کر وہاں سے نانا نصیب ہو کر وہ
کر وہ بلا نصیب سے
الفاتحہ
Ziyarat will be after the Salat. Gents Jamaat Salat will be in Masjid Ghadir and will be led by Sayyid Asad Jafri. Ladies Jamaat Salat will be in the Gym Hall A. Just for information, a reminder, again a reminder, there will be a flag raising ceremony after the Maghribian Salat at 10 p.m. outside for both ladies and gents. Thank you. Tabarruk will be served outside after the Salat. The Tabarruk is closed right now. It will be served after the Salat. Thank you.
Muhammad al-Wal, Muhammad Salwat.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا